Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
And on the radio from 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, John and Ken on demand.
All right. Well, of course, the big news is we're gonna meet the moment. We don't have to demo the freeway. We can repair the freeway, and it may only take weeks, not months, to reopen the 10 freeway near downtown Los Angeles. Newsom again appeared today to make this announcement after they did all their studies and all their inspections. Let's bring on Steve Gregory for the full report on this.
Steve. Hey, guys. It's just like one of my colleagues texted me this morning after the press conference and said, I think the only good thing to come out of this is that we don't have to listen to these press conferences every day for 6 months.
It's been cut short.
Yeah. They're only going to get 5 weeks now, not 6 months of this. Kind of like COVID updates.
So they think this can be done
3 to 5 weeks.
3 to 5 weeks before the end of the year, then.
And Mayor Bass made a big deal about saying that they're using the same contracting firm that did the recovery efforts and rebuilding from the Northridge quake of 94. Mm-hmm. So they have the experience.
Except all those people are dead now.
Exactly.
But 30 years later. Right?
Hopefully they passed some of that knowledge on
They're
down.
All in a nursing home.
Yeah, so, but she was very excited about that. The governor said that the latest core samples coming from deep in the upper deck of the highway section came back in a positive way, meaning there was didn't seem to be any internal structural damage or any breaching of the rebar and the metal framing and all of that. So that's good
how
news.
They do it. They take like little samples of stuff, huh?
Yeah, and then what they do is they check to see if the heat, sort of breached any of the integrity of the cohesion of the concrete and the asphalt, the metal beams, because if those metal beams and rebar get too hot, they could literally expand. And then when they expand, it puts pressure and causes fissures or cracks into that concrete. And that's what causes the structural integrity issue. And if that had been the case, they would have had to demolish the whole thing, tear it all down. He also said 100 columns had been damaged. That's a lot of columns.
Well, it's 8 acres.
Yeah.
That's a lot of columns. I heard him say 9 to 10 were severely damaged.
There was a lot of freeway there.
So they were really worried about, the overall problem. And now as it is, they've got all those wooden structures and beams down there now that are shoring up the freeway so they can come in and do the repairs. Some 250 dump trucks are coming in and out of that area to remove debris.
Do they have to knock down those columns and replace them with new ones?
Not necessarily. It depends. It looks as though some of them might need to be replaced. Others may need just cosmetic facelifts.
Mm-hmm. But the 10 of them that are severely damaged. I don't know. Does that mean they're goners?
I don't know yet. I mean, we don't know if those are going to have to be replaced at all. They haven't gotten into the detail. Uh-huh. And he also did say, the governor this morning, that there could be some temporary closures. They're going to try to reopen one or two lanes maybe to get traffic moving. You got Thanksgiving holiday coming up. You got a busy time mm-hmm. coming
yes.
up. And if that's the case, they may have to shut it down again temporarily overnight to replace some of the bigger pieces of the freeway or to replace chunks of it. He did mention that. So it could very well be on the column side.
Is he going to go first when we reopen this so he can show us it's safe, get in a little limo and...
How funny would that be?
Across the freeway to show us it's not going to collapse.
He drives across in his governor's limo boom,
with the entourage.
Down, yeah.
Yeah, but that's a good
question. And what about the unhoused? Are they okay, unhoused?
Okay. Now, let's get to this song and dance that they're doing here. I noticed the headline.
The arson.
About the arson. Did someone file an insurance claim? I mean, if somebody was trying to burn down their own business, there must be some insurance claim at stake, right? Because they want to get the money.
Business? It's a junkyard.
These are all questions that are in flux.
Boy, you've worked with politicians too long.
Lingo.
That's right. That is a policy question I'm not prepared to answer at this time.
By declaring it arson, it's taken away the idea that it was a crazy homeless person. Because
What did I tell you?
What did you tell me?
I told you.
He said, remember when he left the show yesterday around this time? He said, it's not going to be what you think it is.
It's not going to be what you think it is. And even if it were what you think it is, it's not going to be what you think it is.
Oh, wow, that's complicated.
Now you're speaking.
Is that in flux?
No, think about it.
In other words, they are not going to admit.
They're never going to admit
a crazy homeless guy a crazy homeless guy would start a fire just to start a fire, or maybe he's having a fight with another crazy homeless guy.
Remember, homeless people commit arson too. I mean, a lot of them they've attacked each other, they've lit their tents on fire, they've done these kinds of things.
We had the guy in the bicycle lighting up car.
Yeah, so it's
okay. Well, that's what I'm getting at here. Is they came up with a cover story describing the crime, and now everybody is...
And did you hear what was said right after that? Don't jump to conclusions and don't demonize the homeless.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I don't need her, Karen Bass, lecturing me on what to think.
But saying it
but
immediately
I am gonna,
following
I'm
that.
Not jumping to a conclusion. I am grabbing this conclusion and shaking it. Because who did it? It's either a normal person or an abnormal person. A normal person, what would be the motivation for doing that?
Well,
he's a pyromaniac.
Presumably, if it's a normal,
it is something, yeah, or
it's an insurance claim.
Money.
I mean, I think that's where Governor Newsom is kind of leading us down this path. He keeps mentioning the company's name. Remember, he didn't mention on Sunday when I asked him who's the lessee, and he goes, "Well, we can't really talk about it because of the litigation posture."
Yes, you
litigation
can.
Posture.
Litigation. That's nonsense. Yeah, of course, you can talk about.
But then
Apex Development is the name of this company
out of Calabasas, and then he says they also are leasing four other properties nearby.
Yes.
And they sublease, it turns out.
Right.
They've been subleasing.
He put this
part
all
of the space.
In dramatic terms. Bad actors. They had a lease in dispute. They went to court. Subleases.
Legal posture.
They met against the law. That all danced around who committed the arson. Why would you commit the arson if it was a rational act, right?
Mm-hmm.
Arson to get insurance is a rational act. Well, what insurance?
The pallets.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, there were forklifts in there.
Uh-huh.
Those are expensive. Yeah. There was a lot of vehicles in there. There was we don't know what was truly in there.
Right. Right. So nobody's filed a claim yet.
Is there any surveillance video from this whole area?
Well, that's what they're working on right now. They've been canvassing that entire area. And because of its proximity and being 12:20 in the morning, it's dark under there. There's very few lights.
Why would they have cameras under there?
Well, if there's something expensive, I mean,
maybe security.
Presumably, there's security there. Presumably, we don't know the scope of all of that yet. Apex Development seems to be a pretty lucrative, larger company.
Was that just an unattended storage yard? Was there any active business going on there?
No, it was just storage.
Here's the line. Newsom said the fire was set within the fence line of the storage business operating below the freeway. So apparently they found evidence of arson, right?
Right, yeah. And they found it quickly. It seemed to be an obvious
somebody left a gas
point of origin. Well, no, okay. If it's an accelerant, they're going to know that too.
Okay, well, that's the thing. If you're going to apply for an insurance claim, you have to have a pretty slick way of committing the arson, because insurance companies are all over that. They're not going to pay an arson claim.
Care, and here's
right? But if it's sloppily done with a gas can or something, they're not going to get any money. So that there's no motive to have a sloppy arson attempt.
But here's the thing, though. It could also be one of the five sub-lessees. Mm. It could be one of the other ones down the line that did it.
And what would be their motivation?
Again, it could if they were behind on their rent, or they're just needing the money. I mean, there's that possibility. There could be a revenge fire. I mean, someone could be mad at him over a business dispute, or it could be a whole host of things. And it could be a homeless person or a homeless camp. Now, and we don't know that that fence was 100% impenetrable. We don't know that there wasn't a big gaping hole in the back of the fence or something like that, that people were coming in and out. It had been characterized to me that there was an active homeless camp in there.
Well, there you go. So that wasn't a secure fence like in a maximum security prison.
Is this as hard as getting a tenant out of an apartment? I mean, they weren't paying the lease payments. They were subletting it without permission. How come they weren't just booted out of there a long time ago? They have to go to court.
I asked that question on Sunday, and remember, I got the legal posture response. Like, they couldn't comment on it because of the legal posture.
So that's what
I'm
saying. It's like trying to evict. It's like a squatter. You're trying to evict a real tenant.
What about routine fire department inspections?
Well, they don't do them because it's state property, so that comes under CAL FIRE's purview.
Okay. What CAL FIRE?
Well, there's no CAL FIRE office downtown. They got to come in from other areas. I mean, the state fire marshal, I don't know what, and let me tell you what this has done, as it usually does, is now it's opened up a Pandora's box in all of the procedures and processes in which they take care of these properties. Because a lot of people are now saying, well, how did you let this go for so long? How did you let that go? How many citations do you get before you take action?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They did some kind of inspection to justify the citations, right? They had to do an inspection in order to prove that you're guilty of this and we want money or whatever the punishment is. So why did they allow it to stay there?
I'm hoping that we get all those answers either soon from Caltrans, or we get it from the legal documents that have been filed.
Here's what I think.
Really? Hand sanitizer down there?
Here's what I think the plan obviously is. They're going to do happy talk. Uh-huh. Then we got the distraction of the holidays. And then by the first of the year, they open up and say, hey, everything's fine. And then nobody's going to cover the story anymore. No one's going to take responsibility for it.
And here's the way it's going to be crafted, because these are the way these PR people do it in the government. It's not the time to look to the past.
That's right.
It's time to look forward. The past has happened. It's time to look forward.
Yeah, well, that's not going to fly here.
I hate that.
It makes me crazy too. And I don't want them to get away with this.
Somebody had mentioned to me also too that the lessee might have been impacted by COVID payments, because it also dealt with commercial tenants as well as residential tenants. So there might have been a pay structure issue there. That had just been mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's an angle I had not considered. So I do want to explore whether or not these people were, but I'm thinking to myself, but even if that was the case, that I don't think the state would have been suing them if they'd had plenty of chances to pay up and settle their bill.
All right, we're way behind.
Steve. Yeah, sorry, guys.
Thank you very much.
Later, guys.
If your phone dings, let us know if there's a big update.
Yeah, you got anything.
You're listening to John and Ken on Demand from KFI AM 640.
You know, the reason I was pushing Steve so hard on this, and he's trying to find out what the story is. He's really doing great work about this freeway collapse.
It didn't collapse, but
this potential collapse.
Right.
You just wait. They got 10 columns severely damaged. You never know what's going to happen. But
they're in there supposedly shoring it up now, so I doubt it's going to collapse.
By the way, how come they're so good to do this in 3 to 5 weeks? Have you seen the condition of the roads elsewhere? How come they're suddenly going to be real efficient?
Well, because that's a major interchange.
So why can't they approach work like that every day?
It's not like a pothole on the 110.
Yeah, I mean, they should all work should be approached this way. But in any event, I really resent Bass lecturing everybody, scolding everybody yesterday on what to think. And although we can't pit Angelinos against Angelinos, we can't pit the unhoused versus the housed. It's like, we'll pit whoever we want to. You're not in charge of pitting.
But it's clear the blowback got to them. I mean, it's everywhere. And I think people are putting it in all sorts of comment boards. This has to be, oh, it's a coincidence. A big homeless encampment underneath an arson fire. Oh, yeah. Homeless have nothing to do with it. They know BS when they see it. Did you see the story? What happened this morning? The 110-105 underneath. There was a big fire this morning there, too. But the fire department got there and put it out. It came from a homeless encampment.
Every day there's one.
If there had been, you see, the difference this time is there was the right explosive materials under that freeway. Hand sanitizer, but also the wooden pallets, everything. Some of these other fires don't get as big because you don't have quite as much stuff that would be a big burn.
Homeless people constantly start fires. Some of them
and they love to be under the freeways because of Caltrans.
Yeah.
That's why I said that judge who said we got to get them away from the freeways. He said it because of their own safety. I'm saying it because everything's going to burn down, including everybody's transportation routes.
Yeah, because she's busy scolding us when this was on the verge of the biggest failure that any mayor could ever have, that she has done nothing about the homeless situation in Los Angeles. Nothing. And she's constantly gaslighting everybody, constantly lying about what she's done, constantly trying to release public relations statements to
avoid her responsibility. They just bat each other on the back, and this agency's great, and they got right on this, and we're going to stay on this, and blah, blah, blah. Shut up.
All your agencies suck. You all suck. You do a lousy job. Bass has done a terrible job on homelessness, but hey, I expected that, right? I mean, I'd love to have Rick Caruso building the new the new freeway here. But she stinks at her job. She's overwhelmed. She's never been an executive. She's never been a leader. She's never been in a position to make major decisions. She stinks at her job. She can't find her way out of a paper bag, let alone this homeless situation. And it was on her watch that she allowed all these homeless encampments underneath freeways where the fires burn every freaking day. 80% of the fires in downtown LA are from homeless encampments. Oh, this is one that's not connected to a homeless encampment, really? What, some bizarre, complicated insurance?
Well, let's talk about the agency we should talk about. What a name. Caltrans has, it's called the Airspace and Telecommunications Licensing Program. Airspace. They're the ones that lease this property under the freeway to this company, Apex, which broke the lease, didn't make the payments, sublet to other partners, probably somebody put hand sanitizer under this. They're the ones that need to be under scrutiny here because they're responsible for this. First of all, why would you lease any property under the freeways for people to put crap that could burn or whatever? Why would you do that? They want the money, I guess.
I don't know. That part of the story is weird. Why wouldn't you put, if you had storage stuff, why don't you put it under a freeway? That's ridiculous. There's storage
yards
everywhere.
Because it's space that's unused. I know, but then if you have to buy or rent a big, like most people do, a storage unit at a...
Why is Caltrans allowing flammable materials put under a freeway? And if they somehow defrauded you, they said they were going to store, nursery plants under there. As soon as you found out that it was flammable materials, everything should have been removed. Again, fire emergency. When the
wooden
fire department comes,
really burn. That's what we found out.
So the Tony Tavares is the director of Caltrans. And I will read to you from the second paragraph. Director Tavares's transportation vision for California addresses climate issues. And he advances a safe, equitable, accessible, sustainable, and multimodal transportation system.
Well, the usual bad priorities.
Diversity,
right?
Equity, and inclusion. First thing on the list here. Climate change nonsense. This is garbage. Pave the road. Clear flammable materials from out under
a
freeway.
Fire didn't do good for the climate. Let's put it that way.
Right. How much carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide went into the air? I mean, this is what they think their job is now, to sit around with 30 people at a roundtable discussion about the diversity and equity in our climate goals and all this other crap, manure, feces, nonsense, poop.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
From KFI AM 640.
From 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, we transform into a podcast, same as the radio show at the iHeart app, John and Ken on Demand.
All right, and early reminder that you can leave messages using the app for the Moist line. Look for the microphone icon or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86. One of the other big stories that we just touched on Friday, didn't get a chance to do an update on yesterday because of the whole freeway closure story dominating the news, is this wild story out of the Valley where the son of a well-known Hollywood executive has now been arrested and charged in connection with the death of his wife and his in-laws. Now, this wild, crazy man's name is Samuel Bond Haskell IV. When you have a name like that, you probably come from a prominent, wealthy family, don't you? Samuel Bond Haskell IV. The fourth.
The magic's in the name.
They have not confirmed, but they did discover a woman's torso in a dumpster. And guess who found that, John? A vagrant.
Looking for lunch.
This man, of course, came to the attention of authorities because he tried to hire some day laborers to come to his home in Tarzana and remove some bags. Bags that, yeah, apparently were body parts. They came to the home, but as soon as they started lifting the bags, they realized, these aren't rocks. This isn't construction materials. This is soft and squishy. Could you imagine that? So they apparently gave up on the job. Now they did call the police, but by the time police got there, the place where the body parts were in the bags were gone. That's because apparently Haskell took them and threw them into the dumpster himself. But so far, all they have is a woman's torso.
Did the workers look into the bags?
They did eventually look into the bag, and they saw the skin. They saw a belly button is what I read.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
A human belly button. Yes. And they said, okay, we're not doing this job.
And Haskell was trying to pass it off as a Halloween prop.
That's right. Those were Halloween props.
Yeah.
Very lifelike. Hollywood's great today. They can make stuff like that that appears to be real.
Well, his dad, Samuel Haskell III, was a big deal in Hollywood. He was an executive vice president at the William Morris Agency, was Dolly Parton's manager and producer of a number of TV shows she had, George Clooney's agent, Whoopi Goldberg's agent. This is years ago. Yeah. He left the agency. And then he became president of the Miss America pageant.
Oh.
And left the pageant after all these ugly emails were discovered. He wrote all these terrible things about one of the Miss America winners named Mallory Hagan, about how she was fat and how she had slept with people in virtually every state of the union.
and called her the C word. It was really vicious, nasty stuff. And so he had to leave that job. So there's craziness in the family. He was considered this is the dad I'm talking about. Oh, one of the nice guys in Hollywood. And in all the photos, he looks like this big, happy, smiling guy. And then you start reading about his background. It's like, whoa, wait a second.
Yeah, I didn't see those stories.
Yeah.
I mean, but right away, of course, a neighbor said that Sam Haskell IV was weird. And then there was a story that apparently his home was littered with all sorts of sharp objects. He loved samurai swords. He loved to collect these kinds of things. So it would appear that he chopped them up. But they still haven't found any parts of the in-laws. They do believe, but they still have to do the DNA testing to confirm that this is his wife's torso that was in that one garbage bag was recovered from the dumpster. I guess what he did, after the day laborers brought everything back, he loaded it up quickly, and then he went to probably different dumpsters or different places and dropped off the body parts, and the homeless guy happened to find the torso. So another woman that says she ran into him at a diner a few weeks before the murders and said he was really strange. Typically, we hug each other. He didn't want to hug. He kept backing up from me like I'm a threat. This is someone she's known, like not a stranger.
No, since they were 13, they've known each other.
Right, right. She said they were wonderful people, but something happened to him. And again, he's 35, and we talk about, you know, mental illness and when it starts to really take over somebody in their 20s and 30s.
Apparently, he put out these TikTok videos that this friend said were weird, but it's exactly the way he acts in real life. She described him as attractive, intelligent, and extremely socially awkward. And if you look at any of his TikTok videos or you heard him open his mouth and just say hi, you can tell he's weird. That's fine because, well, it didn't end up being fine. But at the time, being weird didn't mean you couldn't be nice and kind.
A few years into their friendship, Haskell became awkward. He began calling too much and showing up at her house uninvited. When she and her brother asked him to stop, he allegedly pulled out a massive machete on them.
And here comes the big mistake. He goes into the trunk of his car, Sam Haskell IV, and pulled out a machete, not a pocket knife, a machete.
A machete.
They called the police, but her family declines to press charges. See, once again,
just a sad misunderstanding.
If you could pick these guys out well in advance, because when they finally kill and chop up a body, maybe with a machete, it's not the first time he had a machete in his hand, right?
Yeah.
He went after this lady with a machete, and she's his friend.
The in-laws lived in the house. They came from China, and they lived in the house with Haskell and his wife. Their children, thank God they were in school and were safe. He didn't kill the children. But it's a pretty good guess that he chopped up his wife and his in-laws. After
the in-laws are probably in a landfill.
Yeah, that remains to be seen whether or not he talks and they can find. But look at that, John. A vagrant did a good deed. He found the first piece of evidence, the torso wrapped in plastic.
Yeah, we could solve a lot of crimes with vagrants going through dumpsters, finding disposable bodies or disposed bodies.
We might be able to do that. But that first picture I saw of him, first pictures that came out of him, he was much younger. And he looked fairly normal. Then I saw a more recent picture of him and whoa.
Yeah.
There's been a change. He has the dead eyes, the crazy eyes. Yeah. He's just kind of staring like, what do you want? I'll kill you.
He must have suffered like some kind of schizophrenic breakdown.
Man, there's so much mental illness. Speaking of that, coming up after 2 o'clock, remember the story out of Long Beach where the woman almost got raped on the street? The vagrant came up behind her and pulled down his pants. Remember that story? First, it was supposed to be a misdemeanor. Now it's a felony. There's a new development in the case we're going to talk about with Rebecca, who was the one that was assaulted on that street in Long Beach. And this tells you all you need to know about George Gascon and criminal justice these days.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We were just talking about Sam.
Finish your candy.
Yeah, I know. These candies are too good. Smarties.
Smarties?
Yeah.
Why would she give you toxic food?
I don't know. They're probably poisonous.
Full of sugar and processed goods.
Conway brought a big old bag of these Smarties in, and so I needed a little sugar rush, and so I got some for myself and I threw some over to John.
Can you imagine her on a sugar rush?
I had coffee as well today.
Oh, that should be illegal. Sugar and coffee. Anyway, we were just talking about Samuel Haskell IV, who's the guy who chopped up his wife and in-laws.
We believe, yes. They don't have the bodies, exactly.
I mentioned the dad, Samuel Haskell III, who is this big deal Hollywood agent and producer. And while I was looking up stories on him, they did a mini-series on him over the summer.
Oh.
Called, it was on A&E, Secrets of Miss America, exposes its scheming CEO, Sam Haskell, and how he terrorized the crowned. The women.
Wow, most articles are just calling him a big Hollywood executive. They're not giving us the underbelly here.
No, it says the man who ruled Miss America with an iron fist was Sam Haskell. And this was around 2015 to 2017. And former worldwide head of television for William Morris, represented everyone from George Clooney to Dolly Parton. And Haskell was on the board, elevated to CEO. He was credited with saving the Miss America organization in the early 2000s after he'd fallen into near bankruptcy and was dumped by ABC. His official bio describes him as the nice guy in Hollywood. But you'll have a really hard time believing that after watching this docuseries featuring the testimonials of more than 20 former Miss Americas who've come forward to share their horror stories for the first time.
Now, this is not a Me Too. This is not sexual.
This is like psychological.
Just being nasty.
Yeah. And I mentioned 2015 to 2017. That's when the scandal erupted involving his emails trashing. But apparently his service goes back to the early 2000s.
Oh.
And a lot of it's on this Mallory, Mallory Hagan.
Yeah.
And he was extremely controlling. He didn't want any of the Miss Americas to have boyfriends. And one of my friend's boyfriends brought Taco Bell to our house, says Betty Maxwell, Miss America 2016. The next day, my tour manager comes in and said, somebody called Sam and told him that they saw your boyfriend spend the night with you. We have to get on a conference call. I got reamed out by Sam Haskell for something I didn't do. Because it was her girlfriend's boyfriend. They're very, very anti-boyfriend because they want you to look like your America's sweetheart. They're trying to be feminists and Me Too and all these things. And at the same time, they're not thinking about any young... they're not thinking that any young 20-something is dating someone. The paranoia and controlling behavior. Interesting. Paranoia and controlling behavior. That's how they were described.
It could be the son's problem, right?
Yeah.
He apparently was paranoid. Yeah.
He would tell the Miss America girls that some of the Miss Americas work as spies for Haskell.
Uh-oh.
And would let him know what people were saying about him, what people were saying about Miss America. So he scared the Miss Americas to death, thinking that, I guess I can't talk to anybody, I can't say anything about Sam Haskell because they're all spies.
Man, so he wanted to maintain sort of that virginal, dateless Miss America image. So, you know, men would look at that and go, I can have her.
This is what he wrote about Mallory Hagan, that Hagan needs to have a blood test because we lost count of the number of men she slept with at 25. Haskell referred to Mallory Hagan as gross and huge, and the other former Miss Americas have to ostracize her.
So now this requirement he had was only while you were serving as Miss America? Or even if you were a former Miss America, you have to maintain this image. I can imagine it's just while your reign is going on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that would sound really crazy. He's trying to get all the Miss Americas controlled like this.
He drove Mallory Hagan crazy. I drank a lot of alcohol, and I stood on the top of my building. And if it wasn't for my relationship with my parents, you know, she said she might have jumped. And he called Sam Haskell III, the dad, called former Miss America's, quote, forever C-words. And a pile of malcontents and has-beens.
You know, if his son hadn't probably murdered these three people, he wouldn't be back in the spotlight with a story. People might not have even paid attention to this.
So there must
arts and entertainment special.
This severe mental illness runs in the family here.
Yeah, that's what it's starting to look like.
Yeah.
Paranoia, control.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I don't know what triggered this guy that day in that household where he apparently chopped them all up. But
yeah, or what kind of life he had as a kid.
Yeah.
You know,
and I said the son was just doing TikTok videos. That's all he did or something. Didn't really have a big job. All right. When we come back, we're going to welcome back to the show Rebecca Peterson. She's been on a couple of times before. This is the woman that was nearly raped while walking down a sidewalk in Long Beach. Guy comes up behind her, a vagrant named Miguel Avila, and he's got his pants down, lifts up her dress, and she falls. Fortunately, a bystander scared Avila off, apparently with pepper spray, as we learned later. So this story went from a misdemeanor from the LA County DA's office to a felony, but now there is another update in the story. And I think Rebecca said it really well in the last paragraph of this story from the City News Service. Her quote, "Really frustrating to hear that they want to put 6 months' time and effort into this man's case when they wouldn't even put that much effort into finding out if he actually committed a misdemeanor or a felony." And what we're talking about is apparently this man is now going to get a six-month mental health evaluation. The case has been deferred till next May. All right, we'll talk to her about it next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the Dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.